Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, where we read as follows, in Jesus' name. Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. There is a rule that we not discuss politics from the pulpit, and I suppose that rule would also apply to a radio broadcast. That's a good rule, but it's not necessarily so. The Bible does teach us quite a bit about political matters. What would be wrong would be if I or any other preacher would use the pulpit to promote his own particular political philosophy or political party as if God were a Republican or a Democrat or some other brand of politician. But when the Bible does speak on political matters, the church should speak as well. And the Bible does address the relationship between Christians and the government. The government, first of all, is appointed by God, whatever form it takes. What does our text say? It says here, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him, that is by God, for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do good. The government is the servant of God. St. Peter says so here in 1 Peter chapter 2. St. Paul says so in Romans chapter 13. Whether the government is elected by the people, whether the government is inherited from somebody else, whether there's a little group running the show or a big group, whatever government exists for the purpose of keeping law and order in this world is appointed, is sent by God. And second, we see that when you submit to the government, therefore, you're submitting to God. He says, submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, for Jesus' sake. First, you submit to God, then you submit to those whom he sends. The first commandment of the Decalogue is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So we are pledging ourselves to obedience to our Creator, our Maker, our Redeemer, our Comforter, the true and only God, the Holy Trinity. And when we obey God, we obey those whom God has sent to represent himself, whether we're talking about parents or whether we're talking about the civil authorities. And we obey, we submit, not because those in government are virtuous people who deserve our obedience. Oftentimes, they're quite venal and corrupt, and they don't deserve anything at all. But the office they hold represents God, whether or not they know it, and whether or not this is publicly acknowledged. We honor those in authority in order to honor God himself. The purpose of the government is to punish those who do bad, to reward those who do good. And so we can come to certain political conclusions about this without promoting any particular political party or philosophy. For example, abortion, killing unborn babies, is a bad thing to do, and the government ought to make it a crime. It ought not to make it a civil right. Every Christian who lives in America can confidently call upon the government to change these laws that protect the killing of the unborn. Now, most of us aren't competent to pass judgment on all sorts of economic issues that our country is struggling with today, but we can say, in general, that responsibility ought to be encouraged, frugality, thrift, that profligacy, that is, spending money you don't have, ought to be discouraged, because there are certain things that are for the benefit of the country and certain things that will harm the country. The government is supposed to reward those who do good to punish those who do evil. What the apostle also makes very clear here is that when we submit to the government, we are making a public statement to the world. He says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Now, we don't have to agree with the government's philosophy, but when we acknowledge its authority, we show ourselves to be law-abiding. And then those who would slander the Christian religion by pointing out all of the sins of Christians will be silenced, because the Christians will be submitting to the ordinances of men. They will be living as good citizens. The apostle continues, he says, "as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice." We are free as Christians, but we curb the expression of our freedom. Freedom isn't license, but freedom is a spiritual reality and condition. It means that we are forgiven of our sins, that we are children of God. Just as surely as Jesus suffered and died on the cross bearing our sin, and just as surely as he rose from the dead free from the sin he bore, we who know Christ by faith are free from sin. We cannot be condemned. The law of God cannot judge us. We have no guilt. We have no reason to fear death. We have no reason to run away from God, because we know him in the crucifixion and resurrection of his Son, and so we can hold on to him and not be afraid. Not only that, we are free from any rules that would be imposed on us as a means of obtaining God's grace. You've heard it before. If you do this, then you'll get God to do that, as if we must get God to do what he doesn't want to do until we get him to do it. No. All legalistic religious systems are out the window, because we're free. And we are free as Christians, under the grace of God, to live our lives. But free does not mean that we make our own rules, because the same God who has freed us from the judgment of the law has himself prepared the life that he wants us to live. And quite simply, he's in charge of that life. When we put ourselves in charge, we simply enslave ourselves to our own passions. We make very poor gods. Three words strike us near the end of our text, and the words are honor, love, and fear. These are the three commands that are given to us Christians. Whom do we honor? Well, the apostle mentions specifically all people and then the king. Now, we may have to disagree. We may even have to condemn the views of members of the government. However, we always honor those whom God has put over us. To honor does not mean that you condone what they do that's wrong. In fact, there are times when the church must condemn what the government is doing while honoring the government as servants of God, because they are serving God, whether they acknowledge it or not. And if we think that our government is a poor one, we ought to ask ourselves, would we like to live in a situation where there is no government at all, where no one protects anyone from anyone else? So we honor all people, and specifically those who are in authority in the state. And fear. Fear is applied to God and only to God. No human power or authority can require that we go against God. For example, if the government said that we could not preach against certain sins because that would be a hate crime, we would be bound to disobey the government, because God requires that we preach His word without adding to it or taking away from it, and the government gets its power from God. Now, we have a little bit of confusion on that point when we live in a country like America, where we have the privilege of choosing our own government. But the fact that the people choose the government does not mean that the people choose what is right and what is wrong. The Declaration of Independence says that a government derives its just power from the consent of the governed. What that means is that it gains its right to govern from those it governs. It doesn't say that those it governs are the judge of what is right and wrong, good and evil, as if justice and goodness and morality and decency and virtue are matters decided by majority vote. No. In fact, the same declaration speaks of nature's God as the authority. So God is the authority, and every government is a servant of God, regardless of how they obtained their authority. And then the word love. We love the brotherhood. This isn't the brotherhood of man, as if such a thing ever existed, but it is the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are one because they have received the same gifts from the same God, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. You love those who confess that same faith with you. And that's how the church, that's how Christians live as good citizens of the state. It is by living as good Christians and honoring Christ's church that we live as good citizens. And there's no conflict here, because Christians make the best citizens. They are duty-bound to respect their neighbors, even those of different religions. No, we don't respect false religions, but we respect those who are caught in them, and we love one another. And in this way, Christians show the world that our allegiance is to something greater than the temporary powers of this world that simply grasp for more and more power over one another. We are citizens of an eternal kingdom. And the time here on earth is, as Jesus said, but a little while. There's going to be a lot of sorrow for Christians who live in this world and are not able to see what God has promised. You can't see Jesus. You don't get to feel His presence without all of the various pains and disappointments and sins butting into your life, making you sad and frustrated. But Jesus Himself promises that He will see us again, and He's going to turn our sorrow into joy. He didn't bear all of our sorrows on the cross and suffer all the way to death, only to leave us sorrowing over our sins and death. He gives us joy. In heaven, that joy will be without any attachment of sin and anxiety, but even here right now, He makes us free, free children of God. Free from guilt, free from accusation, from all spiritual tyranny. And this is a freedom that will be ours when all the nations of this world have fallen into dust. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us. Please come to one of the services of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First Evanger Lutheran Church, Sunday morning at 8 o'clock in Fertile, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Sunday morning at 9:30. And First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, Sunday morning at 11:30. Tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.